I do want to say thank you to all those that were involved at our gathering Wednesday night, Synergy Worship Time. There was a blessing. All the people that shared and read and did that, and even just people that came just to sit and take it all in. I couldn't help but coming away from that thinking, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. And I was thinking another scripture this morning is, better is one day in His courts than 1,000 elsewhere. It's no offense to you guys, but the reason I like being in the house of the Lord is it's great to see all you, but it's good, and I think the reason that people say those things is because it's good to be in the presence of the Lord. And when we're together, He's with us. And we bring that with us, His presence with us, and that comes with Him coming in the room and all that kind of stuff there. It's good to be in His presence, and that's what we need more than anything else. Other than that, it's just an empty meeting if God doesn't show up. So, start right out with a big question this morning. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? And now a follow-up question to that, what do you base your answer on? Have an answer to that. Why do you say what you say? What do you base your answer on? It's the big question of the day. We're talking about discipling a little bit. We're getting more and more in that direction. And I'll say this. Here's what being a disciple is not. Being a disciple is not wearing a robe and sandals and hanging out with Jesus. Although hanging out with Jesus is a good thing, it is important to being a disciple. I'm trying to get rid of that stereotype that when we hear the word disciple, we immediately have conjured up, depending on what your church background. Mine goes back to Sunday school and seeing the color pictures of Jesus and His disciples who had robes and sandals, and they hung out together a lot. I'm going to give you some background and context statements before we get into looking at this morning. We're going to take a pretty in-depth look at what a disciple of Jesus Christ is. But before there, again, this is in a series of messages that started on the first weekend in January and will continue for a while going forward. And that first thing is this. Great Commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. It's one of the last things that Jesus said before He ascended to heaven, not permanently, but for the long period until He comes back the second time. And in that time, Jesus gave a direct command to His followers, not just the disciples and the people that were following them, but it's recorded for all of us that's His thing there, and it makes it very important. And summarized, let's bring it down to just a summary real quick. The Great Commission summarized. A follower of Jesus, a true follower of Jesus, will engage themselves in making disciples. Jesus has promised to equip and empower His followers to do that, to make those disciples. And He also has promised in the midst of all that He will not leave us or forsake us, that He'll be with us every step of the way as we seek to follow after Him. Another thing I want to say this is that this goes back to tying this into the other messages that have come before this. It's not possible to separate making disciples from loving God with your whole heart. You can't skip one to get to the other. And if you do get to one and jump to the other and forget the other, you can't do that. You can't separate making disciples from loving God with your whole heart. Okay? And now a series of statements that go down through. You can't make disciples if you don't love God if you don't love people like God does. You can't make disciples of Jesus Christ if you don't love like God does. And you can't love people the way God does if you don't first love God with your whole heart and your whole being. So you can say a therefore, in other words, it's linked together. You can't make disciples of Jesus Christ if you don't start by loving God with your whole being. And another statement, just following Jesus' command to make disciples is not necessarily enough. It's possible to set forth to make disciples and try to make followers of Jesus Christ and do it with all the wrong motivations. And then we would fall into one of those spots there that God probably can use that for His glory somewhat, but it's not nearly as effective unless we do that with the right heart and the right attitude. So the question I have is, you can set forth to making disciples and trying to do it on your own strength, but what if you don't have God's heart? What if you're not loving like God does? If those two things are not in place, I would lay this out to you. If we don't love like God does and we don't have God's heart in the process of attempting to make disciples and follow that great commission, it's likely that we're doing it out of selfish motivation. Helps me to check a box. I'm doing it just simply because obedience to God is important. You've heard me say that over and over again. But if that's the only reason we're doing it out of a fear or to get myself off the hook or to make sure I've checked that box, we're not doing it out of the heart of God. And people on the other end receiving will recognize that very quickly. And our attempts in that sense won't have the effectiveness and the results that God plans. And God's plan for us making disciples, obviously, is what? To make true disciples of Jesus Christ. Okay? So another thing now, what is the goal of either making disciples or being a disciple? And you can't separate those two either. Okay? The goal of this whole idea of making disciples or you and I striving to be a disciple of Christ, really boil it down, to become Christ-like. We're supposed to become like Christ. To grow into the likeness of Christ. I'm going to give you a couple quick scriptures here that back that up. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Holy Spirit. I like that. And it says, we all. Who's the all? Those that have named Jesus as Lord and Savior. Those that have given their heart to Christ. Those that have come for forgiveness and asked Him to be in charge. It says, unveiled face. We think about God's glory, and what God is doing in us is changing us and transforming us into the image of His Son. And I like that. It says, notice wording, our being transformed. He saved our soul when we came to Christ and we had that moment in time or whatever that looked like in your life and my life. When that happens, He does amazing things, makes us fit for heaven, and we start that journey. But the being changed into Jesus' liking is not something that's done in the snap of a finger. It's a lifelong process that He continues to change us into the image of that. And the next scripture out of Romans chapter 8. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. God planned from the very beginning that anyone that would commit their life to Christ, His plan is that they would become similar in nature and attitude and values and love and heart condition as Jesus. And God says in this verse that He uses all the things in our life, even the things that we would consider bad or nasty or difficult, He even uses those things to change us into the image of Christ. And I want you to see this too, that Jesus, might be what? The firstborn among many brothers and sisters. God is populating heaven with brothers and sisters for His Son, Jesus, that will be made into His likeness. That's one of the things He's up to. Do I have that written down? Yeah. God seeks to develop people who think and act, speak, and love like Jesus. That is His goal for me and for you. You can talk about all those other things, but if you want a general big picture, a goal of what God is doing in your life, He's developing people like me and you to think, to act, to speak, and to love like Jesus. Now, He has a plan, a prescribed way that He does that, a prescribed way that He makes people into the likeness of Christ. And in Scripture, it's called making disciples. Now, that making of Jesus, there's an internal part and an external part. You and I can't do the internal part. God has to do something in our hearts And he continually has to do something in his hearts. And that's why we talk, it's so important for us to what? Be in the presence of God, because the presence of God actually does that spiritual, it's a mysterious thing that occurs within us where he changes our heart. He roots out things that aren't healthy, that aren't Christ-like, and replaces it with Christ-like things. But there's also an external part, I would say, too, which is this idea of making disciples, which God is directly involved in, which requires other people to be involved. I would say this to you this morning. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ requires, it's not optional. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ requires a relationship with Jesus. Obviously, that's a no-brainer. You can't have that. Look what it says. He says, I am the vine, Jesus speaking. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And what Jesus is trying to tell his followers, which you and I hopefully are one of them, if you're not, you need to be. If you're a follower of Christ, you need to remain connected to Jesus. You need to constantly be in an ongoing, growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And what that actually does is, and he uses the analogy of branches in a vine. If the branches somehow are severed from the vine, within a matter of hours, they'll start to wither. And within a matter of days, they will dry up, the leaves will fall off, and there'll be no life anymore. And the same thing is true of you and I. We must remain connected to Jesus like a branch needs to remain connected to the vine. It keeps being connected to Jesus, keeps the life-giving nourishment that's needed for spiritual growth and spiritual fruitfulness. And I want you to start catching that anytime we talk about spiritual life, because as we get a couple more weeks down the line in the message that I'll be preaching, you are going to start talking and starting to really focus on this idea of life, spiritual life. Another verse that goes along with this. It's very important if we're going to become like Jesus or to be a disciple, that it absolutely requires us to have relationships with other people. And I need to reiterate again. I'm going to tell you right now, you will never be a mature disciple of Jesus Christ if it's just you and God. I'm not going to say you won't go to heaven, because that's that internal thing there. But to become Christ-like, biblically speaking, requires, and you're going to see in a minute as we talk about it, it absolutely requires the involvement of other people in your life. And that may not be easy, depending on what your background, what kind of things you've been through, or how independent you are, or how much you don't like to ask for help, and all those kinds of things. But I'm telling you, to become a true, full, mature disciple, to become Christ-like requires other people. And the verse I have here, Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And you could actually take a corollary to that. So if you're not involved with other people regularly, other brothers and sisters in Christ, and I'm going to clarify what that means a little bit more, you're going to become dull spiritually. Because it's when we're together person to person that God uses those relationships to continue to sharpen and keep us sharp spiritually speaking. Now let's talk about this idea, making disciples. Making disciples involves a relationship. Okay, we already talked about that one thing about being a disciple, becoming Christ-like, is something that God does inside. And I can't tell you where one starts and where one ends, but you've got the internal miraculous Spirit of God working, but you also have God using other people in that process that fosters that along or whatever else. Like it's very, one of those things is very hard to split the two apart because, biblically speaking, both are required to become Christ-like. But in this relationship, in making disciples or being a disciple, so you can put yourself in one of two spots today, okay? And let me just say this. If you've come to Christ for forgiveness of sin, you've asked Him to be the Lord of your life, and you've dedicated yourself to be a follower of God, that's your goal, and you're trying to do that out. At any one time, you should always be a disciple and be making disciples. And that includes if you gave your heart to Christ this morning. You say, well, how in the world can I make disciples if I'm brand new myself? Well, there's always somebody who's a step behind where you are spiritually speaking. I'm not trying to categorize that. But there are people that don't know Jesus yet that need to know Jesus, and you can actually help introduce them to Christ. Okay? So at any one time, no matter where you are on your spiritual journey, when you've come to Christ, you're being a disciple, and you're supposed to be making disciples at the same time. And in those ideas, whether you are a disciple in a moment or making disciples, it requires a relationship and a couple of examples. A teacher and a learner. A leader and a follower. A mentor and one being mentored. Okay, those are the language when it talks about making disciples or being a disciple. All that together, one's the noun, disciple is the noun, making disciples is the verb, the action, requires leader-follower, teacher-pupil, mentor, one being mentored. Let's talk first off about this idea of the mentor or the teacher. The mentor or the teacher, okay? You can't be a disciple of Jesus Christ if you don't have a person or people in your life that fulfill the role of teacher and mentor, spiritually speaking. Let me say that again. You can't be a disciple of Jesus Christ, because it's right in the term disciple. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ if no one in your life is fulfilling the role, if there's not at least one or more than one person who's fulfilling the role of teacher or mentor in your life or leader in your life. And we're talking spiritually now. That person is a trusted and experienced advisor. In other words, it's not just because they're your friend. It's because they have something to offer. Trusted advisors. Trusted advisors are people that have spiritual experience, that have something to give. That person, the teacher or the mentor, they seek to do more than just give information or give advice. Their goal is to actually stamp an image onto the person they're leading, teaching, or mentoring. Okay? And that's a key thing. Their goal, their heart's cry, is to stamp an image onto the person that they're leading. And so it's more than just verbal discourse. A mentor or teacher in the idea of being a disciple yourself or making disciples. That person that serves as the role of mentor or teacher, they share their life with a disciple, allowing the person that they're mentoring or teaching or leading to share in that life and to actually participate in their life. It's not something like, it probably didn't happen. Well, it does. It did. Everybody has been Adeline, how far did you go in school, Adeline? Did you go all the way through high school? Ninth grade. But even, and the reason I use Adeline, because I know she's the oldest person in the room, and there was a lot of times back then that people, believe it or not, didn't graduate from high school. And yet, Adeline's had a long life and been done a lot of things that require an awful lot of knowledge. But what I'm saying there is we've all, so I'm using Adeline. The farthest she went, she got done in ninth grade. Most people here at least went to high school. Okay? You had good teachers and you had bad teachers. Safe to say. Good teachers taught you lessons, but they did more than just stand up and tell you things. You really got a feeling that they cared about you as a person. Now, it would be, and a lot of times it would be inappropriate for them to fully share their life and have you participate in your life, because you'd start saying, that's a little bit weird. So it kind of breaks down with our school settings, but this idea of spiritual mentoring and spiritual leadership and spiritual teaching and disciple making, one of the integral parts, it's more than just telling things, more than just reading and studying. It's an actual sharing of life and allowing the person that you're leading or mentoring to participate. And what the leader or the mentor is always doing, is always pointing the follower to Jesus. Always is pointing to Jesus. is always talking about Jesus, and actually sometimes that can get annoying. Stop talking about Jesus all the time. Stop. But that's actually what good disciple makers do, is their major thrust always is pointing to Jesus, to his example, to his teachings, to his leading. Let's take a look at it. If you're looking for some examples of the heart of a true disciple maker, a person who is actually walking it out the way the Bible tells us, a couple scriptures. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. That is a very key statement in this whole idea of making disciples. Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, was possibly the most instrumental man in the life of the early church outside of Jesus himself, said, guys, follow me, and then he puts a condition on it. Follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. And I could guarantee you that Paul didn't say it, but what he was saying without saying, he says, and oh, by the way, if at any time you find a situation in my life where I am not following Jesus, then don't follow my example in that. Paul was not about, even though he was very influential and did amazing things, he was not out to get a following for himself. He's saying, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. It's a key principle. You and I, well, if you are a disciple maker, which we're all supposed to be, your goal should be that when your influence in a person puts a stamp or an image upon them, it had better be a stamp or the image of Jesus himself. And you should constantly be seeking to be Christ-like, so when they mimic your example, they're actually mimicking the example of Jesus Christ. This says, if you're looking at this, this is sometimes where I think the church sometimes waffles back and forth, isn't so sure of this, because we've seen times where men and women, supposedly men and women of God, who have a great following, and when you start to see the fruit that comes out of it, the following was just their own followers, and it falls flat. And so we can immediately then draw to the conclusion, well, we're really not supposed to be following another person. What did Paul say? Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. It is absolutely right in the disciple-making process for us to be that example and to have that example in flesh and blood, Jesus with skin on, so we can see that and follow after that. You and I are to imitate that mentor, imitate that teacher, imitate that leader as they exemplify and give a real-life example of Jesus Christ. At the same time, if we find that they're not acting Christ-like, we should take a big step backwards, because that's dangerous. Another scripture? Philippians 3:17. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Again, Paul speaking. The interesting thing, tucked in this verse, Paul is simply saying, listen, continue to follow, he's saying now, our example, him and other leaders or other people who we trusted, and he's simply saying this, now he says, as a model, and keep your eyes on others who live as we do. What's that, live as we do? Who are also living Christ-like lives. Paul didn't care who they followed, as long as they were following Jesus and following men and women of God who were exemplifying the life of Jesus. How about this scripture? This comes from John. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater. I must become less. The man that said that was the man that Jesus Christ said, outside of John the Baptist, there's no greater prophet that's ever lived. Pretty high compliment. John the Baptist was chosen by God Himself to be the precursor to Jesus, to prepare the way of the Lord, to prepare the coming of Messiah. And his comment, and he had, John had a great following. Sometimes we get this concept of John the Baptist as being a weird, whacked out guy who was, because we get this picture, he was out in the wilderness, and he wore, what, camel skin? And he ate what? Locusts and wild honey. So we get this picture, this deranged, disheveled hair, guy running around crazy. Farthest thing from the truth. John the Baptist was like Jesus because he had the Spirit of the living God within him. And you know what the response of people was for him? When he started to teach out in the wilderness, that would be like, instead of having church here today, ready? I'm going to go up on Tug Hill, way off one of the seasonal limited use roads, out in the middle of the woods, and that's where I'm going to preach today. And somehow, John the Baptist did that, was out in the wilderness and began to teach and to preach, and people came. And they came in such numbers. They kept leaving the cities and the communities and going out to where he was because they wanted to hear what he had to say because he was speaking the words of the Lord. And the Spirit of God was upon him. The Spirit of God was in the meetings that he was holding. But the interesting thing about John, it was never about people following him. It was always about what? I am an attendant to the bridegroom. And just like an attendant to the bridegroom, if they're what they're supposed to be, it's all about waiting for the bridegroom to show up and putting the attention there. And you know what? A good bridegroom in a wedding will never, never flirt with the bride nor take attention of the bride. We would say that would be absolutely awful. Disciple makers. The heart of a true disciple maker is always about saying, he, Jesus, must become more and I must become less. John the Baptist literally worked himself out of a job. He did what he was supposed to do, which was to prepare the way and point people to Jesus. And when they made the connection, when his followers left him, his disciples left him to follow Jesus. Some of the guys said, they're all leaving and going over there. And he says, that's what I came for. Not to have people follow me, but so that people would find Jesus and walk with him. It's important. As the leader mentor, that's our heart. That we get to that spot someday where, you know what? The person that's leading or follow us starts to be so in tune with Jesus that they need us less and less. But I would say this, as a true disciple of Jesus Christ, you never get to a spot where you don't have to have a leader or mentor anymore. There's always somebody, and that can change throughout your lifetime, who fulfills that role. Now let's take a look a little bit at the disciples. That was all about the disciple maker, or the leader, or the teacher. How about the disciple? A healthy disciple, a person who's growing in their maturity, becoming Christ-like, has people in their life that lead and teach and mentor them to be like Jesus Christ. The person that fulfills that role exemplifies, is an image of Jesus in the way that they live out their life, the way that they speak, the words that they say, the thoughts that they think, the things that they do, and the way that they love people. Looks a lot like Jesus. And that person who fulfills that role in my life and your life as a disciple of Jesus Christ needs to be humble and understand their role, which is like John's, I must become less and he, Jesus, must become more. That person always points to Jesus. Their goal is helping people grow in their relationship with Jesus. And like I said before, they're extremely happy when a person needs them less because they become increasingly reliant upon Jesus for their needs. It's not because they get overwhelmed, it's because that's what the goal was. Remember, John the Baptist, when his followers left him to become followers of Jesus, he was like, That's what I came for. A true disciple of Jesus Christ studies and learns under the tutelage of an instructor, a teacher, or a mentor. Again, you cannot be a mature follower of Jesus Christ. You will never become truly Christ-like to the amount that you could become if you're not studying or learning under the tutelage or instruction of someone else. But I want to say this too. It's more than just getting information. A healthy disciple will willingly study, willingly learn under the tutelage of others, more than just being taught. They go beyond just hearing the words that teacher says. They actually find themselves embracing the values and beliefs of their mentor. You say, well, that's putting a lot of power or importance on somebody. Remember, the other spot of this was what? That teacher or mentor, their heart is what? Follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. If that's what's going on, it's okay to take on the values and take on the beliefs, because those are Christ-like values and Christ-like beliefs. A true disciple is extensively shaped by the influence of that person. And I could rattle off different people in my life. My father, Penn Clark, Dan Tabol. Those are big people who have had tremendous influence on my life. And then there's a lot of others that in a time or season came in. But I can almost map through my life people that fulfilled that role. Some have spanned all the way through. Some have come and gone. But those men extensively influenced the person who I am in Christ. Extensively. I'm not my dad. I'm not Penn Clark, and I'm not Dan Tabol. But I'll tell you, there are certain characteristics and beliefs and values from the people that have had a significant role in my life that have made me who I am. And the reason that people like that have had such an influence, because they have had, I've had the opportunity to know and experience their life firsthand by spending time with them. It wasn't just this or that. It was, let's spend time together. Let's talk. Let's converse. And it goes beyond, it's a broad thing. Because they cared enough to share their life with me. They allowed me to see firsthand the fruit. I was able to, they didn't actually even have to do this, but I was able to see firsthand the fruit of others that they were leading and teaching and mentoring. And saw consistency. I saw certain characteristics that followed. I was able to see in each one of those men that they walked the talk. Are they perfect? No. Did they have everything right? No. Did they have a corner on all the avenues of becoming Christ-like? No, not a one of them. And none of them would claim to have done that. But I was able to see in a lot of ways that there was, if you scratch the surface, you saw a depth there. A healthy disciple is humble and teachable. They so desire to become more like Jesus that they willingly and energetically give another person a role to speak into their life. A true disciple recognizes that there are always people out there that they can learn from and grow through knowing and receiving from them, because they recognize that there's always somebody out there that knows more or has more experience or who has insights into an area that they're weak in. And they humbly and energetically and willingly put that person in a role to speak into their life. Being a disciple requires great humility, that you don't know everything, and teachability, like up on the wall there, an intense desire to learn from those that are further along. And you know what being humble and teachable is? You can say it all you want, but the test is this. you put into practice what the teacher or the mentor says and does. If that person's in a role gives you a suggestion or says you should try this or think about doing this, if it's direct or even indirect, you value that and you've humbled yourself and are so willing and energetic that you will do what they say. Again, I can't help but go back. Remember, following as they follow the example of Christ. We should never follow somebody who is not striving to be Christ-like themselves. And if we find areas that are not Christ-like, we need to take a step back. Take a step back. Now for... I've got five closing statements and then a couple closing questions. So we got five statements to close with and two questions. That's so you can pace yourself. Because if I said closing, I'd everybody shut me off. Like the kids would say, you have about a minute, and then you lost everybody. So I'm saying, oh, there's five statements coming and two questions. First statement. An authentic church, you say this, some of you are going to say, well, this doesn't fit where we're going. It does. It all ties together in the end. An authentic church is one in which Jesus Christ is the head. That He calls the shots. That He is the goal and the model. That He has ultimate say. That's patterned after His life and His teaching. That's what an authentic church is. An authentic church is filled with people who think, speak, and act like Jesus in all areas of their life. Why? Because an authentic church that's following the mandates and the example of Jesus will be filled with authentic disciples of Jesus Christ. Why? Why will it have that? Because it will be filled with people that have God's heart, because they've been working at loving God with their whole being and make that goal. They've been following Jesus' example, who showed what loving God with His whole being looked like. If you want to know what it means to love God with your whole being, read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When you get done, read them again, and then read them again, and read them again the whole time. How did Jesus show His love, His honor, and respect of His Heavenly Father, even though He was actually God Himself? An authentic church is full, we're on number three, getting there. An authentic church is full of people who have given themselves to making disciples. Again, an authentic church is full of people who have given themselves over to making disciples. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus came to die on a cross. He came to show us what God is like, which is actually making disciples. To show people what it means, what it looks, what God looks like, and giving us that example. And He actually made disciples physically with His 12, and then there were more than 12. There were a lot of followers that were stamped with His imprint. Why did they give themselves? Because that's what Jesus commanded them to do. If we're going to be an authentic church, we should be filled with people who are making disciples, because that's what Jesus told us to do. Why? Another reason. Not just because He told us to. Here's where it really needs to be. Because we can't help but make disciples. Why? Because we have spent so much time with God, we're so in love with God, and we're so committed to God that there's this heart transplant that goes on where it's no longer my crusty, hard heart, but it's the heart of the living God. Mine's transformed into that. And if that's the case, I can't help but make disciples and help people grow in their faith in Christ. And because they love people like God does, which flows from that God-like heart. An authentic church reproduces people who look like Jesus. An authentic church reproduces people who look like Jesus. They can't help but do that because an authentic church is filled with authentic disciples who have the very heart of God And what flows through their being is the very spiritual DNA of God Himself. And so when they reproduce, they pass on those Christ-like traits to those that come along behind them. Just like human beings reproduce naturally, spiritual followers of Christ reproduce naturally when they're mature disciples. An authentic church labors diligently to equip its members with the heart, the tools, and the power to effectively make disciples in the world around them. Now, some of you might find fault with that statement. The church labors diligently to equip its members with the heart and the power. I don't have the heart, nor do I have the power, but I know who has that, and that's God Himself. In a church, an authentic church of Jesus Christ will labor diligently to put people in touch with God so their heart can be changed, to put them in touch with God so His power can flow through them, and then the tools that go with that. So the question, first question in closing, is GCC an authentic church? Is GCC an authentic church? Remember I said at the beginning, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Then I said, qualifying question, what are you basing your answer on? Is GCC an authentic church? What do you base your answer on? It better be based on what we just got done saying. Is this church an authentic church filled with disciples of Jesus Christ, filled with people who love God with their whole being, and did all those things that are listed down through there? Many of you took notes, wrote them down. Are we? I can tell you this. As your pastor, that's my goal. I don't want a following. Never set forth to have a following. In fact, as a kid, I fled from it. I don't want you to follow me unless I'm following Jesus. I know that the leadership of this church, that's our goal, is that we would be an authentic church of Jesus Christ, as we've defined it this morning. That's what we give ourselves to as leaders, trying to diligently labor in introducing people so that they can have the heart of God, the power of God, and the tools that God gives to make disciples. We give energy to that, and you know what? We're willing to change and implement whatever it takes to be that church. Are we there? I think we're on a journey. Have we arrived? Nope, because there's not a perfect person in the room, including me. There's always a place to grow, to become more like Jesus, to become a better disciple, to become more mature in our likeness of Christ. And until that day comes, we will never be a perfectly authentic, full church. But boy, we better be getting more like that as we go on. You say, well, there's always going to be the idea where you say two steps forward and one step back, because every time we bring in new people, they have to become like Christ. That I'm not talking about that, because that actually is being an authentic Christ, that people come as they are and that people love and care and help people become like Jesus. So now the closing question. Are you a growing disciple of Jesus Christ? Let me walk you through a step here. First off, the church, as we said, authentic church, it's not this building, it's not the property, it's not the name. Church is made of people. The only way that we as a church will ever be an authentic church, the only way that we'll ever be a powerful representative of God's grace, His forgiveness, His power, His mercy, and his love is if the people who call Grace Community Church their home are growing disciples of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how good I am as a leader or a preacher or how dynamic our eldership is or the people that teach Sunday school or how good you can love. If the people that call Grace Community their church are not in and of themselves growing disciples of Jesus Christ who each and every day are being made in the likeness of Jesus, if that is not happening, we don't stand a chance of being an authentic church to truly show the authentic love, power, mercy, and grace to a dying world. So I ask again, are you and am I on a personal level a growing disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you becoming more like him all the time? Do you want that more than anything else? Forget all the things that you do for God. Are you wanting and desiring beyond anything else to be like Jesus? Do you long to be able to be involved in the things that you read about Jesus doing in the New Testament? To be able to walk up to the pool of Bethesda, if you will, Bethsaida, and see the lame person who has no hope, and to be able to stand up and tell them to be well, to touch the leper, whatever the equivalent would be today, and see them healed, to be able to stand and meet the needs of people, to wipe the tear away, to meet somebody caught in sin who deserves to die for that sin, to be saying, where are your accusers? Now go and sin no more and have the same effects as you. Is that what you want? Because that's what it means to become like Christ. Are you being taught and trained by other people? By their example, by their words, and by their faith lived out before you? Because again, you can't be a growing disciple of Jesus Christ if there aren't people in your life that are filling the role of teacher and mentor and disciple maker in your life. I put the challenge out there because it's the reality of what church really is when you move all the entrapments, the buildings, the activities, the ministries, which are all tools, if you will. We will never be an authentic, we'll never be a powerful church if each individual isn't striving to become more like Jesus. And I will tell you this, if those that call this church their home will strive and give great diligence to be an authentic follower of Jesus Christ, to grow in their likeness of Jesus, and they're passionate about that and want more than anything else, we will become an authentic church. We will be an authentic church because it just naturally flows out of that. I can't stress enough as I've been going through, it's not even where I started when the Lord put this whole series of messages. I haven't even gotten the stuff that I thought I was going to be preaching on it. We're a month into it now and haven't even gotten to the things that are on my heart. They're coming yet. But because I think God has a message for us that if we would go back to the simple truth of loving God with our whole being and being passionate about becoming Christ-like, which is His call and His desire for us, we will be that church. And it won't be because we had the greatest programs or anything else. It's because we will be flooded with people in our midst who are all heading in that direction. And when our heart is that way, God gets the job done. Jesus was fully God, but He was also fully man. And you'll find there were many times early in the morning that He spent time with His Father, praying, seeking. And I have a feeling what He was doing, His Father, help me today as I go about what I need to do to catch the appointment You have for me. And boy, was Jesus a master at that. You and I can be the same. I'm a challenge to all of us this morning. Let's give ourselves as individuals. This is a personal thing now. As each individual to being the best image of Jesus that we can possibly be. In all areas of our life. Remember last week's message? What kind of person are you? Number one, number two, number three. If you haven't heard the message, you can go back and listen to it. Vern comes up to me after. He says, I got something to say. And I said, what's that? He says, you said you could be one, two, you could be one or two or three or one and two. He says, What about 1, 2, and 3? And he put his finger on something really well. You have to go back and listen to that message again. But as becoming in the image of Christ, we're going to find times, because remember number 3 is, we talk about these things and nothing's going on in there. Well, you know what? There are times we find ourselves with great spiritual truth being spoken, being lived out in front of us, and nothing's going on in our heart. We might turn around in a second later over here and all kinds of fireworks are going off. Why isn't it over here when the same truth or a bigger truth is being done? Sometimes it's an indication there's an area of our heart that needs to be transformed and opened up to the things of God. And I want to challenge you that no matter how long you've walked with God, until you go to be with Jesus himself and see him face to face, you are not fully in his image yet. It's an ongoing process that never ceases and never stops until the process is finished and God takes us home. And then we will be as he intended us to be. Challenge for you. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? And if you find that you have areas that you're not, what are you going to do about it? Do you have people in your life that mentor, teach, or you learn from? If you don't, you need to do so. Does that always have to be formal? Not necessarily. You can be discipled by some. You could actually be discipled by somebody, and they don't even know that's going on, the person that's discipling. Because if a person's walking out their life like Jesus and is actually allowing people to be imprinted, you can actually be mentored by somebody without, it's not the perfect way, but it can work. That's not an excuse for not developing flesh and blood relationships. Don't go there either. I've often heard that though, but if we limit ourselves to only being discipled and trained and taught by the people we will meet in our life, we're missing an awful lot of opportunity from some great teachers and theologians and Christ-like people who have written wonderful books and have a lot of resources that can actually fulfill a great role. Problem with that, you never get to see their life. So you can't tell if they actually walk the talk. But I want to challenge you. You need people in your life. You need Jesus in your life. You need to become like Christ. It has to be your passion. And if you'll do those things, you'll also find yourself almost automatically either with a desire to somehow be involved with making disciples. And as we move forward in this series, we're going to talk more about some nuts and bolts about what that process looks like in areas that are, we get farther away from the core stuff to the surface stuff, the tools that go into making disciples, and we'll be talking about that. But today, you need to ask in your heart, where our worship team can come on up. You need to ask in your heart, am I an authentic follower of Jesus? And I would just simply say this. It starts, I don't know, but I know I want to be. I know I want to be like Jesus. And I want to grow in that. And you can talk to God about that. As the worship teams come up, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go into a closing song. And the closing song this morning, I encourage you, always it's good, but this morning specifically, I think you're going to find that there's a message in the words there. It can actually become a prayer that you give in this process. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness, your truth, that you clearly state your purpose for us. You clearly state in your word what we're to be. You even gave us the example of your son and other great disciple makers in Scripture. Lord, don't let us be prideful, arrogant people that think that we know better. Help us to be humble and teachable, to seek out those that could teach and to train us to be like Jesus. Lord, I pray it would come from hearts all over the room and listening online or in recordings, Lord, that you would grant us and help us to have that heart that desperately wants to be like Jesus, that's not satisfied with our fleshly stuff coming out, but wants the purity of Jesus in our own heart and our own life, that desperately wants others to see Jesus in us. Lord, we want that as individuals. And then as we come together as a church, Lord, we want to be an authentic, real church, one in which you can pour out your power, you can pour out your grace and your mercy through us, your people. But Lord, it comes from us being authentic disciples first and foremost. Lord, help us to realize that we can have both. We can be disciples and make disciples at the same time. In fact, that's what it has to be. Burn that into our hearts. And Lord, help us to take the baby steps, the big steps, whichever steps we need to take to be more like that. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.